Thank you all for coming today. I'm Henry Olson, Executive Director of the Center for Civic Innovation at the Manhattan Institute, the group within the Institute that is sponsoring today's event and that has sponsored some social science research in the past by former Budget Director June O'Neill on the effects of welfare reform. We're happy to see such an overflowing crowd come to hear our distinguished speakers and moderator. And with that, I'd like to turn the podium over to today's moderator, Mr. Gordon Berlin, president of MDRC, one of the nation's premier social science research firms.
Thanks, Henry. So I want to introduce our authors and speakers and set up and frame the issue for you briefly, and then I'll negotiate the questions afterward. We have a really remarkable group of speakers here today. Jason DeParle, the author of American Dream, Three Women, Ten Kids, and a Nation's Drive to End Welfare, was the New York Times reporter on social welfare policies for the last 10 or 15 years or so. We all owe him an incredible debt of gratitude because more than any other reporter who wrote about these issues, his stories appeared on the front page of the New York Times. He brings the sharp eye and probing question of a fine journalist, and he weaves really a remarkable story of state reform through the eyes of a journalist, through the eyes of the people who formulated those policies. He had really direct access to Tommy Thompson and Bill Clinton at different points, and we hear their point of view, through the staff who administered those programs, and through the people who experienced those programs. And he teaches us, I think, an eternal truth that we have to relearn at least every 5 or 10 years in this business, and that is that poor people's lives are incredibly complicated, and government can only be a small part of that. Larry Mead is a professor of politics at New York University. He's been a student of welfare reform policies since the 1970s, when we actually collaborated on a study of the WIN program. His newest book, Government Matters, Welfare Reform in Wisconsin, is his fourth major work on the politics and poverty and welfare reform issues. He breaks new ground in this book, applying an academic political scientist's view to the whole process of how policy gets formed, and as he points out in the book, more importantly, how it gets implemented. And I think you really get an inside view of what that process is really all about. Jason Turner, our last speaker, is the protagonist in both of these books, or at least one of them. He's a unique combination of idealist, reformer, and experienced manager, and those words don't often usually go together in one human being. I first met Jason when he was the head of the welfare reform in the federal government in the first Bush administration, overseeing the Family Support Act's implementation. And then he played a leading role in Wisconsin, both in the formulation of the policies there, but also in their implementation in Milwaukee. And finally, he brought those policies to New York City. Let me just quickly set up the issues and give you a framework for thinking about the perspectives the three speakers bring to these issues. The first real question is, how should we define success in welfare reform? Is it to reduce welfare dependency? Is it to reduce poverty? Is it to increase work? Or is it to save the taxpayers' dollars? Probably most of us would like to see a policy that could do all of those things together. The problem is that the evidence suggests strongly that those goals really are in conflict with each other. And that's why welfare has been so hard to reform all these many years. So as they speak, ask yourselves, which perspective, which problem are they solving? Now, secondly, what's the underlying cause of these twin problems of dependency and poverty that plague 15 to 20% of Americans, depending on how you count? Is it behavioral, the behavioral shortcomings of the people involved? Is it the opportunity structure that we can't create jobs that pay enough so people can support their families or earn decent wage? Or is it welfare and government programs themselves that have created these problems? And, of course, this question has been with us since the 1600s. We don't want children to grow up poor, but if we give their parents money to lift their income, they're likely to work less, and some people would argue actually marry less. The problem, of course, is that the deserving children poor and the undeserving parent poor are a tied sale, and that also makes welfare very hard. And my last really brief point is that the history of welfare reform is also at play here. Remember that welfare was originally created as part of the 1935 passage of the Social Security Act, and its goal was to allow widows to stay home with their children. Well, over the next 40 or 50 years, our norms changed. Single parenthood became single moms not who were widowed, but who were divorced and separated and who were never married. And our norms changed also in terms of work. More and more single parents went to work. For years, Congress was struggling to try to reconnect today's normative behaviors with a policy that really didn't work, that had come from a different era. And that patchwork was another reason that welfare reform was so difficult. Between 1975 and 1990, despite four major reforms, the welfare rolls really didn't change. They ranged between 3.5 million and 3.9 million families or so. And then suddenly, in 1993 or 4, caseloads skyrocketed to more than 5 million. The sense was that we were in a state of crisis. Bill Clinton said, we have to end welfare as we know it. Tommy Thompson and the folks involved in Wisconsin were involved in a similar debate. And then 7 years later, welfare caseloads plummeted by more than 50%. No one anticipated that. Why? How did it happen? Was it the policy? Was it administration? Was it the remarkable economy, unemployment getting down to 4%, something economists didn't think was possible? For answers to those and other questions, we'll start with Jason DeParle.